of a series called Happier and Healthier Guaranteed. Susie and I are excited. On March the 22nd, we're going to have a Q&A session. And so if you have questions or things that you would like us to share with you from our story or from something that maybe you have something in your relationship you'd like to talk about, we would love to share with you on that. Also, we want to just remind you, this is an adapted series from a series that Andy Stanley did. And so it's heavily influenced by that series and just a lot of great content that we feel like fits with where we're at as a church. And Susie and I and our story and how we share that, it seems like it dovetails there as well. And I just want to say at this point, this is obviously is definitely a relationship series, and it's geared towards those who are in relationship, either waiting, dating, engaged, married, rediscovering their marriage. But I believe that these principles, oh, you're such a gem. I really do believe that these principles can be applied to relationships that are not romantic, relationships in your family, relationships at work, relationships with a neighbor. And so my hope is that you would see and you would ask the Lord to give you some sense of how these truths apply in your story. And so Susie and I are sharing this series not as experts in marriage, but as those who have been redeemed, and our marriage has been redeemed. And so we're sharing on the other side of some really tough stuff. And we want you to know, and the reason why we're doing this series is we want you to know that happier and healthier guaranteed is possible in every relationship. And so we want you to know that. But the truth of the matter is that when we have our hopes and our dreams and our desires, when we go and we're looking for Prince Charming or that beautiful girl who will cook the great meals and care for the kids, We're not trying to prepare ourselves, not normally trying to prepare ourselves so that we can be the best version for someone else. We don't think like that normally, right? When we're looking and we're interested, we're trying to say, listen, who among us, who am I attracted to and who can fulfill my dreams and my desires and my hopes? I mean, when you're looking for your Prince Charming, you're not really interested in his military career, right? I mean, when you're looking for the beautiful girl who cooks great meals and cares for the kids, you're really not seeking after her because of her dermatology history. Oh, wow, you're so beautiful. Tell me about how you went to the dermatologist. Like, or her love for culinary arts. You just want a good meal, right? And so people are sought because of what will be best for me and my future. In my box, I call this condition my me. I just made that word up. That's the condition that we have when we go out and looking for a relationship. We have my me. And I is always in the middle, right? And it's in the middle of my and me. And so my me says, listen, when I think about a relationship, there's a certain thing that I'd like to live in one day. I mean, I certainly hope I get to keep driving this. And I mean, I know who's going to do the house cleaning. And I have these desires of what she will or will not wear to bed. I know how we're going to handle conflict. I know how many kids I want. Right? Oh, I know what we're going to do with our money. Right? Our time, where we're going to travel. And when we say, listen, I have these dreams and I have these hopes and I have these desires. But when we get into the relationship, as we talked about last week, when we hand those hopes and desires and dreams off to someone else, something happens to them. The density, the weight of them changes. And they no longer are hopes and dreams and desires. They turn into expectations. Could you please fulfill this for me? Can you please make this happen in my life? We said that expectations are a strong belief of what will happen or will be the case in the future. And sometimes it's just subtle pressure. Maybe it's just kind of like we kind of talk about it, we hint at it, we kind of just kind of leave that catalog open, or we kind of leave that brochure somewhere. It's subtle, but other times it's just upfront demands. But most of the time, what it is it's either a desire to recreate what we saw and we experienced as a young person, or try to avoid that. Listen, I saw relationships that I grew up under. I saw, and I want to do something totally different from that. So what we do is when we walk into other relationships, we're either trying to recreate something or trying to avoid something. But what I want you to know for sure happens is that there is this interesting relationship dance that's created. When I have my hopes and dreams and desires, and Susie has her hopes, dreams, and desires, this little dance begins to happen. Whatever I do to you, I want you to do back to me. And I want you to know that that equation doesn't work for happier and healthier guarantee. It's the equation's more like this. It's a UOI. It sounds a whole lot like UTI, doesn't it? Both of them are bad. We don't want any UOIs or UTIs, right? Because they're all bad. UOI. Expectations create this debtor relationship. That's what that is. It's, listen, you owe me. We're in a relationship now. You owe me. You agreed to walk down the aisle with me. You agreed to date me. You agreed to accept my ring. And now you owe me. And this debtor-debt relationship is not good. It's not a viable option for healthier and happier. See, love is unrecognizable and unreceivable under the code. See, here's the code. Go back to that. I'm sorry, I skipped over that one slide. Here's the relationship code. A lot of times we wouldn't say this, and we wouldn't probably put this on anything and make our spouse sign it. But the relationship code, a normal relationship code, says, I do specific behaviors for you if and when you do specific behaviors for me. That's the code. And what I want you to know is that happier and healthier guaranteed is not according to the code. And let me give you an example of how when you live according to the code, love is unrecognizable and unreceivable. Okay, so I know this is going to be a little bit awkward, but does anyone have $200 cash? Tom, I need $200 cash, please. All right, so here you go. I have this money right here. This is the money. Here's what I would do. I want to give a gift to Tom. Do you expect this money back? Here's the thing. Listen, friends, it's not a gift if it's expected back, right? And so here's the thing. In our relationships, if what is you're giving to your spouse, what you're giving to your partner is expected back, it can never be a gift. I could never demonstrate love to Tom by giving his money back. It's expected back. I mean, there's no reason for me to keep this. I have to give it back. But listen, Tom does not in any way believe that I love him anymore today, this minute, right now, after I give his money back. Because it's expected back. And so, church, when there's expectation, love is unrecognizable. It's unreceivable. Because if the person expects it, you can't give it as love. They won't receive it as love if it's expected. It's called a payment. It's giving back what is expected. It's not love. It's called a payment. And so our relationships are not meant to be transactional. They're not meant to be contractual. They're meant to be love. And so that's where we were last week. And so we ended this idea last week with, so how do I keep the box from being burdens, a burden of expectation? How do I keep it from being expectations and just basically being, listen, this is my, these are my hopes, dreams, and desires. And they're not expectations for you to fulfill. And so the question we ended with last week was the idea that we'll answer, the answer to how do I keep my hopes, dreams, and desires in my box and not make them expectations is answering this question. What does Susie owe me? What do I owe Susie? And we landed on this idea that Susie owes me nothing. We owe each other everything and are owed nothing in return. And we admitted last week that it doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit in the normal relationship code. Gratitude, being excited about what someone does for you, doesn't fit in and is not according to the code. The code is, if you do this for me, I will do this for you. And we're saying that's not according to the code. It doesn't make sense, and neither does gratitude. The idea that I have not filled up a box of expectations for you to fulfill, happier and healthier, is not according to the code. Because here's what I want you to, here's the thing that I want us to try to focus on today. Trying to get another adult to act a certain way to benefit you is absolutely fruitless. If I am trying to somehow manipulate and control Susie in order to give me back something that will benefit me, that's a fruitless endeavor. Happier and healthier guaranteed is not according to the code. What happier and healthier guaranteed is, it needs to be a submission competition. You ever been in one of those? A submission competition, a race to the end of the line, a race that involves less selfness as opposed to my me. I owe her everything and she owes me nothing. Church, where does that come from? Is this even biblical? Does this even make any sense? And we said, yes, it does. Look, Jesus tells us in John chapter 13, verse 34, it says, a new command I give you, love one another. Well, guess what, Jesus? That's not new. We knew that part already. A new command. You're not giving us a new command. Only Moses gave us commands. Are you speaking on behalf of God? Are you saying you're God? You're saying, listen, a new command I give you, love one another. He says, listen, I'm not done. Slow down. Be patient. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Now, that's new. There's a new standard. Love as I have loved you. Jesus' relationship instruction is as I you, you them. Church, that's not according to the Old Testament code. That's not according to the environment or the cultural code. That's a new code that Jesus is putting forth. As I, you, as Jesus to the disciples, he's saying disciples to others. What would that have meant to those men in that room that day? What would that have meant to that culture? How did Jesus act towards those less thans? How did Jesus act towards the tax gatherer? How did Jesus act toward the prostitute, the ones with the disease, the ones who hated him? How has God in Christ treated you? That's all he's saying. Listen, as I have treated you, you should treat them. And if I understand correctly what Jesus has done for us, he has given us forgiveness. He's saying, listen, nothing is held in. When I forgive you, I hold nothing on the inside. I have no resentment. I have no anger. I have no shame for you. Forgiveness, nothing is held in. He says, I will give you freedom. Nothing is held out. I will not withhold anything from you. I will give you all that I have. And fullness, nothing is held back. Forgiveness, nothing is held in. Freedom, nothing is held back. Fullness, nothing is held back. That's how Jesus loved us. And he's telling us in this new command in John chapter 13, as I, you, them. And what's so interesting, from this part of the Bible, all the rest of the pages, all of the imperatives, all of the commands link back to John chapter 13. As I, you, them. And so when we come to the Apostle Paul, that professional Christian killer, that guy who hated Christians and got license to arrest them and kill them, he comes and has an encounter with Jesus, and it's kind of like the FBI's most wanted becomes the FBI director. I mean, that's basically what happened. Whoever's the America's most wanted right now, if somehow, and you know how much I stay away from politics, if somehow President Trump would make him the FBI director. Like, that's what happened with Paul. Paul was the worst of the worst. He was a Christian, professional Christian killer, and now he is basically the head of the movement to non-Jewish people. And everything he's talking about in all of his letters go back to this John chapter 13, verse 34. And so when we read in Ephesians chapter 5, it goes back to this. If you're sleeping, you want to wake up. Because I'm about to make you mad. Wives, listen. Submit yourself to your husbands as you do to the Lord. Now listen, if there is one verse to make half of the congregation mad, throw that one up there without an explanation. And everybody like, you know what? I can't, man, I'm going to another church. Church, if this bothers you, I'm so glad you're here today. See, what you have to understand is that this was not shocking at all to the readers of Ephesians. We know this, that women had very little value in this culture. They were seen as the property and under the legal jurisdiction of their husbands. And so they had two options. They either submitted, or they got arrested or sold or falsely accused of some crime. And what we need to understand also about this verse is that actually in the original, the earliest Greek manuscripts, there is no verb in this phrase, in this sentence. And so when the original, when we have the earliest transcripts we have, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 is more translated like this. Wives, to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, does that sound a little familiar? John chapter 13, right? As I, you, them. And so what the wives are being instructed to do here in 5:22 is, wives, to your own husbands as to the Lord. And what's typical in Greek grammar is that when a verb is used in one sentence, it can be dropped down and inferred in the next sentence. And so what you have here is we have to know what the first sentence says in order to know why the verb is now found in this sentence, because there is no verb in 5:22. And so what we need to look at to understand why there's the verb in 5:22 is to look at 5:21. And here's what 5:21 says. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So there's no verb in 5:22, but we see the verb here in 5:21. This sets the tone for everything that follows. Paul is saying, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Again, he's not saying, listen, the reason why we're going to submit is because of the Old Testament. The reason why we submit is because of the culture. No, everything is going back to John chapter 13, 34. As I, you them. And so Paul is pointing back to Jesus' command, his new command. And he's saying, listen, you need to have submission out of reverence. The all of the all that God has done for you should give you reason and compulsion to submit to one another. And so what Paul is saying is what God demonstrated to you, you demonstrate to others. And so mutual submission is what leads to a happier and healthier relationship guarantee. Mutual submission. The submission competition is not according to the code. In a submission competition, all of me is to benefit all of you. And church, I'm not disputing that there are different roles and different responsibilities and different gifts and different talents between men and women, but there is not a different value. There's equality between men and women in marriage. To the first century reader, this was earth-shattering. This was disruptive. This was disorderly. It was not according to the code. This is not how it was set up. What is this guy doing? And so what Paul does is he starts with common ground. He starts with the thing that would be least offensive to the people reading it. He says, wives, submit to your husbands. Everybody in the culture knew that. He started with common ground. The earth-shattering stuff's coming later. He's saying, wives, submit to your husbands. But then he also applies the truth. He also applies the request. He also applies the command to men. And basically what Paul says in the verses I'm about to read to you is he says, I am here for you and you are here for me, but I am here because of what God's done for me, not because you're here for me. You know, so often it's like, Susie, I'll be here for you if you'll be here for me. And but what Paul is saying, listen, I'm going to be here for Susie because of what God has done for me, not because she's going to be here for me. I mean, let's just get something out of the way. Women, please don't get stuck on this. I took a valid poll. I surveyed every man in the world. I checked with them. I surveyed all of them to find out how many of them were worthy to be submitted to. Guess what I came up with? Zero. None of them. None of them are worthy to be submitted to. They're all fractured, fallen men. So the whole idea of I'm going to submit to him when he's worthy to be submitted to, that's not the code. It's not about wait till he's worthy to be submitted to. Paul is saying, wives, you are to put your man's, your husband's hopes, dreams, and desires ahead of your own. That's what submission is. Listen, I love you, Bryce, and I'm going to put my hopes, dreams, and desires behind yours. But here's the thing. Ephesians 5:25 says, what's it say? Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. No. That's not according to the code. She's property. She has no value. I cannot love her. I cannot submit to her. And I definitely will not submit to her and love her like Jesus did. Paul, do you know the Jesus story? That didn't end well for that guy. He died. He laid down his life. And you want me to love my wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her? This doesn't make any sense. This is not according to our code. In God through Jesus, there is equality for men and women. And in God's economy and happier and healthier guaranteed, there must be mutual submission. So if the men were a little slow to get the message here, because the women understood the message, the men were like struggling with it. And so Paul keeps talking and he gets super practical. And he says in Ephesians 5:28, if you haven't got it yet, here's how I want to explain it to you. In the same way, husbands ought to love your wives as their own bodies. Okay, now you're talking my language. I know my own body. So you must love your wives as your own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. And so what he's saying is that what would you do for your own body? Would you protect it? Would you care for it? Would you provide for it? Would you treat it well? That's what we want you to do for your wife. Treat her like your own body. And so that's where we get this image. If you remember all the way back, those who have been married, all the way back, some pastor that was talking, and it was like the teacher in Charlie Brown during the wedding. Wah, 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 wah. That's all why my wedding homilies are very short, because no one's listening. And so the pastor, while you weren't listening, he was going, wah, 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 wah. One of the things he said to you, one of the things that she said to you was, now two have become one flesh. And that's what this is. Husbands, love your wives as your own body. Care for, share with it, love her. See, church, this might be familiar and uncomfortable to us, but to the readers of Ephesians, it was new and mind-blowing. We know that in the U.S., the equality of men and women has been long been something that's been fought for. And I want you to know, not that I do this often either, but at Northway Community Church, let there be no doubt, there is no difference between men and women in this church. A woman could come up here and preach. Man, your next pastor could be a woman. I don't know. There's no role that they can't fill. They're on our leadership. And so there is no difference between men and women as it comes to their roles in the church. But here's one of the struggles. For the very same reason that we have this strong fight for equality is the same reason why we have trouble with submission. Because we don't want anyone to have to be below someone else. The bottom line, as we look for the runway here. Men and women, husbands and wives are equal. And to have a happier and healthier relationship guaranteed, there must be mutual submission in light of the different roles and responsibilities, the God-designed advantages and limitations. It must be a submission competition. Men, what is your life? What is life to you? What is life to you? Whatever that is, put your wife's hopes, dreams, and desires before that. And I mean, let's get down and dirty. I'm talking about your kids. Your wife and your husband should be more important than your kids. I'm going to leave that there. We got a little hush over the congregation when I said that. We'll just leave that right there and move on. Pastor, I didn't come to church to get offended. Wives, whatever is in your box, what Paul is saying is, listen, mutual submission is putting your husband's box ahead of yours. So how does this happen?
How do we do this?
It's this right here. You make a decision. It's not about feeling like, oh, well, listen, I'm going to put my husband's box in front of my box when I feel like it. Well, guess what? You're never going to feel like it. That's not natural. It's not the code. It's not according to the code. The code says me, myself, and I. The code says I've got to take care of me. I'm looking out for me. But health, happier and healthier relationships guaranteed is not according to the code. Realizing and making the decision that she or he does not owe you anything, you owe him or her everything. And so the assignment for this week, whatever relationship you're in, I want you to ask him or her what's in their box. If you're waiting to get married, this would be a great time to ask it. If you're already in a relationship, I would like you to do two things. Ask him or her what's in the box. And then the second piece I want you to do is very, very important. First thing is ask them what's in their box. Secondly, shut up. Listen. Don't talk. Just ask them what's in the box and don't talk. Just be quiet. Men, your wife will have something to say. When you ask her what's in her box, she'll tell you. Just listen, no matter what she says. Just listen. Men or women, men, women, lower your expectations of what answer you're going to get back from your husband or your boyfriend. If you're ready for this, just be like this tidal wave of talking when you, honey, Brycey poo-poo, what's in your box? Lower your expectations of what you're going to hear back. Because even though they have desires and hopes and dreams, we have trouble articulating them. Even though we want you to fulfill them, we don't know exactly how to say it, but you better be able to take care of it. It's messed up. Be patient. Be patient. But here's what I want you to say. Here's what I want you to know. That when you ask the other person what's in the box, this is a double if you're sleep and wake up sermon. Maybe that's why it's not very good. When you ask what's in your box, what you're signaling to the other person is, I'm all in for you. I'm all in. I'm in for your dreams. I'm in for your hopes. I'm in for your desires. I'm willing to submit to you. Now, there's got to be at least one of us in this room that's saying, uh-uh, I'm not doing it. You don't know my wife. You don't know my husband. You don't know who I'm dating. I'm scared. And the reason why I'm scared is if I submit, I will lose control. If I submit to her, she'll start. If I submit to him, he'll stop. If I submit to her, she won't. If I submit to him, he'll start. It's a battle for control. And if I can share with you a couple things that Susie and I've learned throughout our short 20-year marriage journey, the pressure and the control is not working. It is just an incubator for resentment, isolation, and a precursor for him or her to check out. It's only imaginary if you think you're controlling your spouse. Because what's happening is if they feel controlled and you think you're controlling them, what's end up happening is they're resenting you, they're pulling away, and they're emotionally checking out. even though they show up at dinner every night. This is a huge piece to our story. We believe, for us, it's the only way forward. And I believe it's the only way forward for all of us towards a happier and healthier guarantee. Because the appearance of happiness and health, when you don't have mutual submission, when you don't have trust, when you're just trying to control the situation, what ends up happening is it's only an appearance of happiness and health, and it's only one mistake, only one misjudgment from someone not named you from being able to shatter this relationship. If I'm trying to control you and control your behavior, we're only one mistake from it all blowing up. And all you're left with, your whole marriage, your whole relationship, will be this. Sus, come here. All we're doing, our whole marriage, is this. It's a tug of war. When I want her to do something I want her to do, I'm going to pull a little harder. And when I feel like she's down and out, I'll let it go a little bit. And all we're doing is going back and forth, tugging back and forth. Because no one wants to lose control. Nobody wants to let go. And you want to know what makes a happier and healthier relationship guarantee? Drop the rope. Drop the control. And I don't know who dropped it first. Maybe me, because that was my sermon. But you go first. You go first. You go first. And the reason why you go first is because Romans 5:8 says this. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this while we were still sinners. Wait a minute. While we were still sinners, God was busy doing something. While we were still sinners, God was dropping the rope and sending his son to earth, letting go, submitting. While you were still sinners, Christ died for you. So some of us are saying, I will never let go of the rope. I could never lay down the rope and give up my imaginary control of the box. Andy Stanley says, there is no hope until you let go of the rope. There's no hope until you let go of the rope. And so back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Happier and healthier guaranteed is this phrase right here. Put each other first by going first in order to be last. Put each other first by going first in order to be last. Drop your side of the rope. Drop your control. Find out what's in his box or her box and listen, and maybe even take some small steps of action. That's what submission is. And it's a submission competition. Let's pray. Lord, you asked me to do this relationship series. So let the people that are upset, let them be upset with you. Lord, I pray that we have faithfully looked at Ephesians chapter 5 in just a small, certainly not an exhaustive, not in a complete way, but we've begun to see the idea that is surrounding this whole idea of submission.
that we are called. The verb is mutual. The action is mutual. The submission is mutual. There is equality in our relationships. There's no one that is less valuable. But each of us should be rushing to be less self-full. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would start with Susie and myself. Lord, we got a long way to go. Our journey has just begun. And it's so interesting that the enemy is not trying to, he didn't decide to take the month of the relationship series off at our house. So Lord, if we're honest, we can say we struggled yesterday and I still had to stand up here this morning. So Lord, we come as people that have been redeemed and we come as people that are desperate for the marriages in our church. We're desperate for the relationships in our church. We're desperate for our children and their future spouses one day. Lord, that you are continuing to work. Those of us that maybe not are in a relationship, Lord, I pray that you will empower us to go forth and breathe life into another relationship. Lord, maybe it's showing appreciation and gratitude to the mailman or the mailwoman. Maybe it's submitting to the obnoxious neighbor upstairs in the apartment or something. I don't know. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Would you do this? This is really what I really would like you to do. If I could just ask you, if I could be so bold as to ask, could you help every single person in this room? Let them know they don't have to be in control. They don't have to be in control. Because you are. Because your love for us is so enormous and it's so massive. We can drop the rope and we can trust that you are the one caring for us. You are the one that will take our burdens. And next week, I'm so excited about talking about what we do with our hopes and our dreams and our desires. We can't hand them to someone else. We can't make them expectations. But there is something we can do. Not just with the happy days, but the days where we're just so mad. What do we do then when we're unhappy? When we're frustrated? When we don't want to go further? What do we do then? And Lord, you have an answer to that. You have an answer to that. And it's a beautiful, gracious answer. So, Lord, I pray that you would make each of us, each of our relationships, each of our marriages, happier and healthier, guaranteed. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand with me. Let's sing our closing song.